One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach. All the damn vampires.
Alright, what's up, fools? Grand Marquise.
And the homie Sersko.
And this is Hella Horror, where we pick a few movies with a similar theme and cook them down, chop them up into chunks of humor and sarcasm.
Simon Raza, we'll be getting into some creepy shit, funny shit, and dumb shit, so get with the program.
Simon, so check it out. We'll be looking back at our favorite modern vampire slaying movies, including the remake. And just to let you all motherfuckers know, This show is full of spoilers. So don't be tripping, don't be sending me no hate mail. Hey, Grand Marquise, I didn't know that was going to happen. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes down.
Right.
So these are the movies we chose. First one we're going to start off real quick is Blade, Lost Boys, Dust Till Dawn, and the Fright Night remake. Those are movies that came out back in the day. All had memories for us growing up and whatnot. But the first one, Blade, that was released back in 98 by New Line Cinema, made hella money, which actually was the first superhero movie that actually started making money. And then they were like, oh shit, we can do some shit with that. Directed by Stephen Norrington. And the only other movie he made was Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen. Do you know why?
Why? Why is that?
Fun fact.
Oh, shit.
That motherfucker hated Sean Connery.
Damn.
Because really? Sean Connery was in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He was like the main guy, the main hero. He made the movie with him, and he fucking hated the dude. He hated working with him. And he said
specifically, fuck them.
Yeah, dude. He's like, Sir Sean Connery, fuck that motherfucker.
He ain't no sir. He's a punk.
Shit. He ain't nothing. Punk. George Washington, man. Who's George Washington? No one cares. That's not the point. What we're talking about. In an interview after he made the movie and everything and had the experience, and I don't know exactly how it went down, but supposedly Sean Connery was like a diva and, you know, he wanted a box of chocolates, and Norrington was like, man, fuck you, man. I ain't giving you shit.
Because your shit smells.
Shit smells. I smell like roses and you don't.
So get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. And then Norrington said, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And he got the fuck out of there. And then he said he'll never direct another film. And he's been fucking, he's a man of his word. He ain't done shit. That's when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what, like, what happens, man.
You let other people get in the way of your money making, man. Not good. I'm just saying, Mr. Norrington.
So the movie was written by David S. Goyer.
Goyer.
He's an excellent writer. He wrote all of the Blade movies, the trilogy, even though they got worse as they went along, in my opinion. But that's for a discussion for another time. He also wrote the screenplays for all of the Batman Dark Knight trilogy movies. So he knows his shit. And then starring the lead titular role, motherfucking Blade, is Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
A.K.A. Nino Brown.
Nino Brown.
Gangster. Fun fact. Well, Marvel, when they first started to produce the movie, they started back in 98, so way earlier. And at first, supposedly, they were looking at LL Cool J. I guess he was interested in playing the part.
Oh, really? LL Cool J? Oh, I'm glad they didn't get him.
Oh, dude, I think it would have sucked.
That would have been too much.
But Snipes jumped all over it. Before this, he was also trying to get the first Black Panther movie made. He actually had been trying for a minute himself, but the deal fell through. And so then they're like, what about this other ass-kicking black dude? And he's like,
fuck yeah, man.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, man. Sign me on, man.
Yeah, man.
But he would have been a good Black Panther.
He would have. Yeah. I mean, he's a great actor. I mean, he's done hella good shit. I mean, fucking Nino Brown. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. That's ultimate right there.
Also starred old-ass Chris Christopherson. He also did he plays Whistler, which is Blaze number two. The old man.
The one with the long hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool,
man. Craggly-ass old man.
Yeah.
Fucking just hates
him. Actually, did he come out of Roadhouse with Patrick?
No, that one's...
That's the other dude.
He's another badass.
Yeah, the cowboy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow.
But, yeah, so in Bush Wright, she plays a kick-ass hematologist, and Steven Dorff plays the final boss, a.k.a. Deacon Frost. Also, quick little thing is Steven Dorff was also in an old-ass horror movie back when he was a kid. It's called The Gate.
Oh, it's a classic.
One of these days, we're gonna pick some old-school 80s movies that match it, like The Gate and The Curse.
The Curse, and then there's that other one with Troll.
Troll.
Oh, yeah.
Another time, folks.
Yeah, not right now, man.
Fun fact.
Woo.
Eventually, by the end of this, they're going to be like, shut the fuck up, Sersko. Shut the fuck up, motherfucker.
It's a little humor, man. Come on, you guys can laugh.
All right. So, Marchese, what's Blade about? Let me tell you. So I'm going to break it down. It's going to be rapid fire, folks. Ain't got time for no deets. So Blade, a.k.a. the Daywalker, and Whistler, they're two vamp hunters, right? They've been tracking the main villain, Deacon Frost. They want to kill him. Makes sense.
What a surprise. We don't have that problem with humans.
No, man. Fucking America's great.
It's fucking peachy.
It's planet America. It ain't planet Earth. It's planet America. So Blade tears shit up all over town. He fucking kills vampires. Deacon Frost, in the meantime, makes power moves and takes out like the Godfather type that ran the vampire houses, took him out. And then Blade's pissed off. He's like, man, fuck this shit.
I'm going to get this motherfucker.
I'm going to get these motherfuckers. And Blade and Ambush go after him.
And his Challenger?
Oh, yeah. He's driving some badass black Charger.
Charger.
It's an old school Charger. Yeah. Fucking sick. That's all like matte black.
Matte black, yeah. Mm. It goes with him.
Oh, yeah. So they get there. Basically, Frost wants to become La Magra, the blood god, and just fucking take over the world. But Blade fucks his ass up. He uses new chemical weapons that Ambush made. So basically, vampires boil up and explode. And then the end of the movie, Blade and Ambush walk out.
As they hold hands.
And that's how it goes down, man. So that's Blade. The next movie we're going to talk about is Lost Boys.
Lost Boys.
And don't worry, folks, if you guys feel like that was it, we're going to break it down a little bit later. We're gonna get into the nitty gritty of the good shit.
Giving you the good shit right now. We're giving you the other side of the Snickers bar.
Yeah, this is the part you're like, oh, okay, those are the movies you guys can be talking about. Yeah, and then the rest is the fun shit. Right. So, Lost Boys, released in '87 by Warner Brothers. Fun fact, bruh. The movie originally was supposed to be like Goonies because you know it's got that kid vibe to it. If you notice when you watch it,
yeah.
This is directed by Joel Schumacher. So he did a bunch of well-known films,
Wait for it, people. Hit it, Graham Marchese.
Motherfucker put nipples on Batman. Damn. And he also made the shittiest Batman movie.
Damn.
I think he did two of them. It's the one that looks like a fucking music video. Fucking garbage.
Ranker.
But he put nipples on fucking Batman suit.
Yeah, that sucks. I never realized. I actually never even noticed it.
Oh, watch. When you watch it now. You'd be like, fuck Graham Marquis, fuck me up, man. Now I'm looking at fucking nipples.
Dang, that's all I'm going to think of. Batman's nipples.
All right, moving on. Two more movies were released years later. Lost Tribe, and then I forgot what the other one was. They were garbage. They were done like years later, though. The movie stars Kiefer Sutherland. He's known for the show on TV, 24. And he did hella shit in the 80s. He plays the main, he plays the leader of the vampire gang. Then you got the two Coreys. Super popular in the 80s was Corey Feldman and Corey Haim. RIP. He died. Sucks. They were super popular, like I said. They made a shitload of movies together, notably License to Drive and Dream a Little Dream. Corey Feldman's still around. He made a bunch of movies. He was in Goonies. He's the kid Mouth. And he made a bunch of other garbage. He also hung out with Michael Jackson as a kid. So
you know what that means, folks. No pun intended.
What's the pun, fool?
Well, you know, they're hanging out. You know, him and him are hanging out. And, you know, they could have had a little...
They were getting their pun on? Having some pun.
Well, here's my mom way. You know what I mean. Get the fuck out of here. Fun fact!
The movie was actually filmed in Santa Cruz. A lot of it was filmed in Santa Cruz, especially the old boardwalk. The old boardwalk isn't there anymore. It sucks for like the newer generation that didn't get to see the old boardwalk.
I didn't know, man.
If you go to Santa Cruz now, the boardwalk is concrete. There is no boardwalk. But it's along the beach and everything. And for the most part, everything's still there. But a lot was changed. But the old boardwalk with the wood and everything, it was pretty cool. I'm lucky to say that I got to see it as a kid.
Is that wood anymore? I thought it was wood.
Nah, it's all concrete, man. Watch when you go back, check it out.
I go there all the time. Never noticed. I guess I never looked down. You know me, I'm all too prideful. I was looking up.
So the movie is set in a fictional town called Santa Carla, but it's pretty much Santa Cruz. So what's the movie about, Graham Marchese?
Come on,
Bato. So Diane Weiss plays a mom with her two boys. They move in with her dad in Santa Carla. So as they settle in, the eldest brother, you know, he sees his hot chick on the beach, and then he actually ends up hanging with her and her crew. And that crew happens to be that vampire gang. While all this is going down, the little brother meets the Frog Brothers, Corey Feldman and some other dude. I forget his name. No disrespect, homie.
Damn.
Any case, so they tell him, hey, man, beware of vampires. Fast forward, the frogs and Corey Haim and the older brother go to the vampire cave where they're hanging out and sleeping. They kill one, Bill from Bill and Ted, and then they save the girl that's there. Shit hits the fan, and then the vamps come after him. Shit gets down, and then eventually they kill them all off, and then the head vampire shows up, and then he gets killed off. End of story.
It's great.
Thumbs up so far. We have one thumb up, another thumb up. So we got two thumbs up, someone's ass. I don't know why I said that, folks. Keeping you on your toes. Are you listening?
Yeah, remember, you want to know thumbs up, no one's asses, okay? So give us two thumbs up.
So last but not least is Dusk Till Dawn. Actually, this is not the last one. What the hell am I talking about? This is Dusk Till Dawn. This one was released back in 96 by Dimension Films, directed by one of our favorite directors, Robert Rodriguez. What's up, homie?
What's going on?
Holla out, man. Holla out.
Simon.
So he's well known. He made Desperado. He made the original Mariachi. Mm-hmm. Planet Terror he made from the Grindhouse movies, which he did together with Quentin Tarantino. And he's also made the Machete movies. This was actually written by Quentin Tarantino, who obviously did Pulp Fiction, Django Unchained, and also did the movie Death Proof from the Grindhouse feature. So they've worked together here and years later in the Grindhouse movies, and obviously they're very tight.
And, you know, I always kind of throw this in. Robert Rodriguez also made Spy Kids. I just think it's fucking hilarious how he makes a movie like that and he goes on to make Machete and all these.
But what's funny is the Machete character is in Spy Kids.
Yeah, it's the uncle. Yeah, and then they steal his spaceship. Like, what the fuck? It's like, okay. It was like, I didn't put no thought into it until I saw Machete. And I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. But it's pretty cool how he's you know, his universe operates.
Yeah, but they're fun, dude. I love their movies, both of their movies. And then this movie also stars young-ass George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. They play the Bank Rubber Brothers and some Asian kid named Ernest Liu.
Who cares, man? Why are you even saying
fatality? You never saw that motherfucker again.
That dude don't know how to act, though. That's why. I think he got lucky. He probably fucking won some type of...
playing Yoshi's Island and
no,
shit.
No.
Oh, sweepstakes. Or, you get to be in a new movie, motherfucker.
No, what's that called when you put your name in there and they pull it out?
I don't know. Name in a hat.
No.
Raffles?
Raffles, there you go.
Raffle prize. Raffle.
He probably got a raffle. That's what it seems like.
He
seemed like he was way out of place in character.
He's out of place because he's a shit actor.
Yeah.
And then we got fine-ass Salma Hayek.
Woo!
You know, can we have a moment of silence?
Yes, we can for those hips anytime.
Yeah, so she's hot. If you don't know who Salma is, man, you better...
You need to go on Google
yourself, close the door.
Google that
shit. Don't tell your wife or girlfriend. And if you got neither, then you got all day, bro.
Damn. But,
Tom Savini, he plays Sex Machine. Tom Savini, for the horror fans, y'all know who he is. He's a horror legend. He's well known for his makeup effects on hella zombie shit. He's made of his work with George Romero. God bless his soul. R.I.P. RIP.
R.I.P.
He's a shit. All right, moving on. And Danny Trejo.
Simon.
A.K.A. Machete.
Machete.
He plays the bartender in the Titty Twister. So Danny Trejo, we already talked about the characters he's playing, like Machete. Number one, he's a longtime collaborator with Rodriguez. And apparently they're cousins, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, Danny Trejo did time in La Pinta.
Oh, yeah, La Pinta.
San Quentin. He also happens to play a character in American Me.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing.
Well, his homies, man. The homies were Laeme.
Yeah.
He wasn't in it, but he did kind of hang with them. He had some type of special
pass. Yeah, I think he's from
pass.
Yeah, he's from L.A., Echo Park, and some other barrio.
Yeah, so authentic. And we
a lot of love for him.
A lot of love.
What's up, Danny Trejo?
What's up, Holmes?
Hopefully we get to hang out one day.
One day.
And then you got finally Cheech Marin, fucking from Cheech and Chong fame. This motherfucker plays three separate parts in this movie. He's fucking great. So what's it about, Holmes? Let me tell you. The murderous bank brothers, they're on the run. So they hold a family hostage and force them to drive them to Mexico. They want to get to that fictional town of El Rey. So they finally get into Mexico. They go to a strip joint called the Titty Twister. On TV, it's called the Kitty Twister. They actually changed the T, so it's a K.
Yeah, it's like, you can hella see it.
Why even do that? It's like, dude, just cut the top off and just call it the Twister.
In this fucking age, who gives a fuck? You got internet. These kids can fucking go on the internet and pull them up and see that it says Titty Twister.
So. And if a parent asks you, what's a titty? You tell them, well, mijo.
It's a tit.
It's a tit.
It's not chichi.
He's like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. All right, good. There you go. Salma Hayek is a stripper there, and she does a dance, does some nasty shit with her feet, gives Tarantino's character a drink of tequila as she pours it down her leg. Hot at on her dirty ass feet because she's been walking around this dirty ass bar. Fucking gross.
Some people like that shit, bro. Don't be knocking it, man. Le gustan esa madre, man. They like,
it's Salma, but then even I would be like, hey, Salma, you need to go wash your feet real quick, babe.
Nah, man. You know, you'd be all up on those fucking toes, man. Tongue between cracks.
Yeah, no, man. Fuck that.
Moving on.
So, right at that point, shit hits the fan, and everybody that works in the bar are vampires. Eat everybody up. So they fight their way out, and the only one that survives is Clooney and Juliet Lewis. Then the final shot of the movie basically reveals that the backside of the strip is actually a giant pit where there's you see the partially buried side of an Aztec pyramid, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And Robert Rodriguez is huge on, you know, Mexican history, especially, you know, Aztecs and things of that nature.
Well, he's Tejano, so, you know, Texans, man, they got a
lot of pride, eh?
A lot of pride. But, yeah, which is cool. It gives it that nice little Chicano twist to it.
Moving over to the last but not least, finally, is Fright Night, the remake. It was released in 2011 by Touchstone, directed by Craig Gillespie.
Jello.
Sorry, Craig. And this movie was based on the original with the same name. That one came out back in 85, so it's over 20-something years.
A little oldie.
It's actually, the original is actually one of my favorites. I watched it for a big chunk of time, but then just saw it here and there. I mean, it's really corny, the original. So
now, like, but at that time, because I remember just seeing it. In fact, Fright Night had, what I remember about Fright Night is just the cover.
Really, it's a dope ass cover.
The skull with, or the,
it was like a
vampire.
It was like a vampire, like smoke kind of mist type of thing, or on top of the house.
Fucking but dope. But it was pretty cool how it always started. I mean, that had a nice cool, but yeah.
So they're almost similar in many respects, obviously. This movie stars Anton Yelchin. RIP. He died in a car crash, unfortunately. He's super young. He's a great actor. He's done a lot of stuff. He's known also in playing the Russian pilot dude in the Star Trek rebooted movies.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's when I first saw him. But he's done a bunch of shit. Colin Farrell plays the main vampire boss, Jerry Dandridge. He's done hella shit. I mean, if you don't know who Colin Farrell is, just Google that motherfucker. He's a Hollywood star.
Google it.
Fun fact.
Woo!
So Chris Sarandon, he actually played he was the original actor that played the original Jerry Dandridge boss in the original 1985 movie. He's actually in this. He had a little cameo, and supposedly his name is JD, which is, you know, a play on Jerry Dandridge, and he gets killed. Colin Farrell's character kills him.
He gets guilt.
We then you got Christopher Mintz-Plasse, a.k.a. McLovin from the Superbad movie.
McLovin.
Shit's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty good. He's a funny dude.
He plays Evil Ed. Actually, he does a really good job. Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's funny looking, that's why.
The movie is about the main hero, obviously, Brewster.
Brewster.
So he's a senior in high school, and Evil Ed, or starts as Ed, turns evil, right? tells him, hey, Brewster, that a new neighbor that you have, he's a vampire. Brewster says, ah, go fuck yourself. Brewster eventually, you know, realizes that Ed's gone. He starts getting paranoid. Then he starts stalking the Vampire King. And he even tries to get a Vegas performer, some Chris Angel wannabe.
Yeah.
You know, he supposedly is an expert on vampires, the occult, and shit like that. But, you know, so then shit hits the fan, obviously. They go after the vampire boss. They kill him. Everyone's happy at the end of the movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, folks, in a nutshell, that's the movies that we have on tonight's episode. You want to know more? Go Google the shit. But for now, we got to get into the murder rap sheet, Mr. Graham Marchese.
Simone, man, because what? Why do we watch horror? Because we want to see some motherfucking bodies hit the ground.
Body hit the ground.
Yeah, so Blade, how many cases they catching? So Blade, he killed hell of vampires. He cuts them up, kicks them in the balls, blows them up with chemicals.
Slices, dices, cubits, all that shit.
He pops them like pimples and all that. He even kills some of these guys by breaking their neck and punching them only. Which makes no sense because even at one point in the movie, he goes, the only way to kill vampires is with silver and garlic kills them or something like that.
Damn.
Yo, bro. You just went back on your word. Yeah, you just punched the vampire to death.
You just discredited yourself.
You punched the vampire to death. I've never seen that, and you made it happen. God bless you.
But and you're full of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. In Bush, and she lights up a nasty, fat-ass vampire on fire with a UV light. Like she can't move it. She's like the big old blob. Can't move, can't defend herself. Like, In Bush just fries her. At first, Blade was like, burn her if she moves, and all of a sudden you hear just fucking fucking that vampire up, and then Blade looks at her and she goes, what, it moved. I was like, damn, it was all smoky. Yeah. It probably smells like shit. Ugh.
But what about the in the beginning, that beginning scene where they're in the club, man? That was fucking just brutal, man. Massacring left and right.
Yeah.
Blood, that was a bloodbath.
Well, it's funny. It's like when they go in, you see Bloodbath in the background. Like,
oh, really?
Big old sign behind the DJ.
No, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was a fucking body count. That was a massacre.
Yeah,
that
was a big one, man. And
he that's a Columbine fucking award there. Did I say that, folks?
That's too early. You can't be laughing about it too, man.
Yeah, I know.
Nah, but
the new president's gonna be like, hey, hello horror.
Is that banned? Hello horror. Ban them. Ban those two fellas. Those two Latino fellas. But yeah.
Let's look at Lost Boys. Well, one, the Frog Brothers, they fucking kill a vampire while it's sleeping. I mean, he was just, you know, fucking snoring, dreaming about drinking the blood of little babies, you know, and all of a sudden, whap! Fucking the stake through the heart. It's Bill from Bill and Ted.
He's the first one, huh?
Yeah, right. He's the first one that gets fucked up. Blood and slime just fall all over him, and then he's like freaking out. Everyone's freaking out. They're like, oh, shit. It's a pretty cool scene. And the one cool thing about Lost Boys is the Frog Brothers say it, is that no two vampires die the same way, which I thought was the coolest thing.
But you know what's cool about the Lost Boys that I like when they do all their killing scenes or they stalk? It's like these motherfuckers are like cool vampires, man, because they're on motorcycles, man. These motherfuckers fly with motorcycles,
fucking
man.
Fucking dirt bikes.
Yeah, dirt bikes, man. So it's different. It's pretty cool. I like that, man. I like that whole little thing. It's funny how they go and they stalk their victims, and all you see is the fucking motorcycle headlights going round and round around the house. But yeah,
man. Yeah, some cool shit.
That's cool shit.
It still holds up, you guys. You should still go watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and also the Frog Brothers also fucking push one vampire into a bathtub full of holy water. That shit's many.
Yeah.
It's one of the vampires. He's got, like, blonde hair. And then the Frog Brothers, they flash their crosses.
Yeah.
He goes, that shit don't work. And he's like, oh, yeah, what about garlic and holy water? Fucking melts his face. Then then the dog comes in and pushes him into the fucking bathtub.
Oh, of Ajo, right? It was, yeah. It was a bathtub of garlic.
Garlic and holy water.
Holy water.
That motherfucker flies in and he melts. He's like nothing but a skeleton and fangs.
It was pretty cool. That's a cool scene, though.
Yeah.
That was
and
a
then
pretty cool scene.
But what's crazy is all the drains in the house, the sinks just explode with blood. And
yeah.
And it's just for the rest of the fucking night.
But that scene, man, it looks like they threw the fucking dog at him. The dog looks all sideways. Just like, it's like, why are you guys doing this to me? He didn't fucking, he landed on fucking the vampire. The vampire fell backwards because the big ass body, man. It's a, what was it, a husky?
Yeah.
A husky, man. But it's funny, though. But that's a gnarly scene, man. Like, yeah, the way how he melts and how the vampire melts. And, yeah.
And then Corey Haim shoots him with an arrow. And then that arrow takes the vampire, flies against the stereo, and sparks are flying out. And then the music gets hella loud. And then it's fucking, then he blows up. His arm, his legs blow off, and his head blows off. Then we got Dust Till Dawn.
That's so, the shit, man. There's some, a lot of cool,
yeah,
fucking murder.
This is where we got like some insane murders, pretty disturbing murders. Mm-hmm. George Clooney, mostly he kills a bunch of vampires.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of dumb. That's only one thing I didn't like. The weapon that Clooney chooses to escape out of the titty twister.
Oh, that big ass.
It's this giant pneumatic spike or drill. I'm like, you're fighting a horde of vampires. And, you know, these vampires, they're strong, but their skin and their flesh is like super weak.
Up there.
And he's like fighting them off that way.
It's, well, not only that, it's like, I mean, just to,
it's heavy as fuck.
Use
a fucking machete.
Yeah, it's a, what is it? He makes that stake out of a jackhammer, right?
Yeah. That's, he puts just a piece of wood on it.
Yeah, that was kind of, yeah, he could have done better.
Yeah, Rodriguez.
I mean, we ain't hating on that. It still looked cool, but it would have looked better. Yeah, man.
But anyways, Tarantino's got the most disturbing cases.
Yeah.
Tarantino, one, he shoots the sheriff in the back of the head when he didn't have to. Then he rapes and kills one of their hostages.
Yeah, but he gets shot in the hand. That was pretty cool. He blows a hole. The dude, they, the fucking cashier or the clerk.
Yeah,
yeah, the gas station fucking clerk. Yeah, he blows him with a, what is that, like a, that's a revolver that he had.
Yeah, he had a revolver and he started shooting back at him.
Yeah, so they show that shit. And so that's basically it, why they smoked those fools. But yeah, he was freaky. He killed that chick, right? The hostage that they had.
Yeah, he raped and killed her. Luckily, you don't see the rape and the killing, but that part I didn't like. I was like, okay, because the thing is, they're supposed to be
just bank robbers.
The good guys are the guys that you're supposed to follow and root for. Well, Clooney, you kind of do, but Tarantino, he's a piece of shit.
And he does play the role right, though.
Pretty much everybody else is just killing vampires. It's all mass murder, both sides.
But the vampires look pretty cool, too, right? Don't they have, like, teeth on their stomach? Remember that one?
Well, they all look different, so they're all demonic and stuff like that. But, all right, Fright Night. So you got Brewster. He kills the boss in a cool way, and he lights himself on fire while he holds the boss down. And then the Vegas guy that's been helping out, the Vincent dude, he starts shooting with the shotgun at the ceiling and lets in the sun, and then just fucking fries the vampire boss, because vampires don't like the fire. It was pretty cool. Brewster also kills his best friend, Evil Ed. He gets fucked up by Brewster and the girlfriend. First, they drop a big-ass set of shelves on him. And then they cut his fucking hand off.
Oh, yeah.
Big ass axe. I mean, then the girlfriend throws holy water in his face.
Yeah.
I mean, by the end of it, he's just like, and he's talking hella shit. He's like, fucking Brewster.
That little annoying ass fucking twerp.
But it was funny. Honestly, out of all these movies, I give the Murder Rap Award to Lost Boys.
Really?
Dust Till Dawn comes a tight second. I say Lost Boys only because how the vampires die, they all die in different ways.
Mm-hmm. I think Dust to Dawn. They just have a fucking gory night on both ends, you know?
That's true.
In the beginning, they all those motherfuckers, they just devoured and shit, man, and ripped apart. And then it flips when it's just a few of them killing all the vampires. I mean, it's pretty cool, all the different weapons they made.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Like, Sex Machine has some pretty cool shit.
Yeah, it's a good. And then
the whip.
And then the one black dude, what was his name?
Fred Williams.
Fred Williams, he fucking rips the heart out.
He rips the heart out of this one big fat vampire.
Vampire, yeah.
Like, with his bare hand. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool. I would say that the Lost Boys would be second for me.
Blade, I kind of want to give him one, but Blade's the only one that's doing the fucking badass killing.
Well, yeah, Blade, I think, what I like about Blade, it was more of, I felt like his kills were, it's kind of like in Halo, when you use that shotgun and you fucking blow him, and it just fucking disintegrate. Yeah. So, and it was a lot of that. That's what I kind of liked about that one. But overall, I mean, they all have, you know, those three movies, Blade, Lost, Dust to Dawn, I think it's the Fright Night is the one that,
probably the weakest in the kill territory. So for me, I give it to Lost Boys. and you give it to Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, man.
It's a thin line between love and... Let me ask you, bro.
Which
of these movies held the most nostalgia for you?
Oh, yeah.
It really held up in your eyes.
You don't even have to finish it. Dusk Till Dawn. I like it. I love it. I love the feel. I like how it looks. That whole grimy. And then, like I said, the whole Chicano twist to it. And also because I am a fan of Robert Rodriguez. I used to watch his channel, which was El Rey. And they had a show based on the Dusk Till Dawn, which that's kind of, I think, one of the reasons too why you know, hold it up high.
So relevant, yeah.
Relevant because they spun off. People, if you haven't seen it, check it out. I don't know where you can find it, but they have, I think, 3 seasons. And it's pretty cool. But yeah, that's mine. What about yours?
It's almost a toss-up between Blade and Lost Boys. Blade, because they introduced techno music while he was taking people out.
The house.
And then that became super popular after Blade did it. And you started seeing it in a bunch of other action
vampire
movies.
You know, Triple X, they did that on that too.
Well, Triple X was like a lot like Blade, except
without the vampires. Hey, quick fact, man. Listeners, if you don't know this, this is some funny shit. You know Vin Diesel made a song this year? He's singing.
Fuck that. That's a horror show right there, homie.
And his Vin front Diesel cover singing. And his cover, the fucking album cover or the single cover. Enough said.
It's like Macho Man in his rap songs.
Yeah, but he actually did it. And he's singing it. I'm like, oh, right.
It's auto-tune that shit. Anybody can do it.
Anyhow, moving on. What's the next one?
Well, back on track.
Yes.
And one of the coolest things that I remember from Lost Boys, and I still love listening to it, is Cry Little Sister. You know, it's a very cool memory. I still like to listen to that song. And a bunch of people make covers of that song. The lyrics don't make fucking sense, but listen to it. You like it. The most annoying thing that stood out, I have to say, Blade, it was the fucking sunblock on the vampires. It's hella dumb. All of a sudden, the vampires put like some really thick sunblock, and all of a sudden, they're out in sunlight. You look at Blade. They call him the Daywalker. That's his biggest strength against the vampire horde. Yet, this fucking clown, Deacon, and his girlfriend, they just put on thick-ass makeup, and then they can go outside in the sun and still have the same strength. Why didn't the vampires do that in the first place and move on? So they fucked up in that story in showing me that shit.
Yeah.
Throw that little girl in Chinatown in front of a bus. That was some OG shit. Like, oh, shit. He was about to kill a little girl. He throws her in front of a bus when Blade has to save her.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. When he's wearing the sunblock. He's like...
Yeah, that's
the... Even Blade goes, oh, sunblock, vampire sunblock. Shit. I was like, man, that shouldn't have even happened. That was hella dumb. The one thing Dusk Till Dawn that really annoyed me was the Asian kid.
The Liu kid. Yeah, man. That was
He fucking sucked. He was a terrible actor.
He didn't even act right, man. And then his fucking haircut, man. It's like, get the fuck out of here, straight up.
Those are the things that annoyed me. What about you, though?
On the Blade, yeah. I think there was the enemy, the main boss. I just didn't like his whole demeanor and the way how he represented the vampires. You know, and especially when you got Blade that... He's all built. He's all cut up and shit, and then he's fighting this fucking whatever type of fucking...
Yeah, he seems like that kid that goes, no one listens to me. Fuck this. I got the power.
No, this motherfucker, he should have been in fucking Twilight. Like, he would have fit better in that movie, man. That's the shit that I was like, okay, well, I guess this is where Twilight spawned off from. But I know.
Wasted.
No, wait. The weapon. That fucking weapon. That George Clooney made.
The mnemonic.
It's fucking annoying.
He felt like a badass, too. I'm like, it would have been a badass if that shit shot.
No, that shit looked heavy. It looked like he had a hard time even holding this shit. So, but yes, let's move on now. What's next? We got...
What's your favorite scenes?
Favorite scenes? From Blade? When he goes, he doesn't fight the main guy, but right before that, when he's all fucking beat up, he's all like injured really bad, but he's still fucking fighting all these guys.
Well, that's when he gets caught when at the very end of the movie. When they infiltrate, they fucking stick him with the stun gun.
The stun gun, that's a soldier right there, man. He kept going, man. So that was kind of one of my favorite parts. And of course,
he bit in Bush, he's like, I need a recharge. Come here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did, huh? Yeah. I need a little snack.
He's like, I'm fucking tired.
So that was fun. What about yours?
Blade for me was the opening scene when Blade's introduced.
Lost Boys. What about Lost Boys, man?
For me, it's just a small scene, but it brings you back to the Goonies feel of the movie. It's the montage where Corey Haim and the Frog Brothers, they're running around and they're preparing the house, the booby traps.
Yeah.
And then they run into the church while the baptism's going on, and they just stick their their canteens and collect all the holy water.
Yeah.
And they got the trench coats and they're all dressed like little soldiers.
Yeah.
And then they're on their BMX bikes. Because that reminds me when we were kids, let's go pretend we were doing something. Let's go capture ghosts. We used to go into the apartments across the street and just wander around.
We used to go to La Mesa, right?
And we used to go to La Mesa, which is, you know, it used to be a wildlife reserve.
Marshland.
Yeah. Marshlands and stuff.
And then they built a fucking train to go through it.
Yeah.
The train tracks. Oh, no, it was Bart.
Bart?
Yes, Bart.
But that's the way it goes. But that was always my favorite scene. It was just, I like thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it definitely felt like Goonies at that point.
For me, it was the part where, which I kind of mentioned earlier on, is when they're in the house and they come and stalk them. Motorcycles, they're flying and they go around the house. You know, they're not
the
like...
the wind's kicking up.
Yeah, because you think they're on the ground, right? But then they look up because it's the windows on top that the headlights starts flashing in. I mean, they never show them.
Which is good.
But it's pretty cool to hear...
And the laughter,
the motorcycles, they're laughing, and I thought that was pretty cool because it's kind of shit that I would do if I was a vampire.
Yeah, you fucking
go terrorize motherfuckers. Not like I'll play with my food first. Tastier.
But what about Dusk Till Dawn? I mean, that's your favorite. What's your top scene in that movie?
I'm gonna give it to what's her name?
Salma Hayek. For me, Dusk Till Dawn was the band. So. You know, when they first get into the Titty Twister, it's a normal stripper bar, you know, dive bar. It's only for truckers or whatever. And the band is playing there. It's just like a mariachi rock type of band. But once they close the doors to the Titty Twister, when all the staff vamp out, the band, all of a sudden, they turn to vampires, but all the instruments turn into body parts. They all of a sudden pull out body parts, and the main guy that plays the guitarón, all of a sudden, he's playing strings like, on a human torso, and the leg is, you know, is like the stem, and then the head is hanging off, or I think it's in the middle or on the top.
Yeah,
of it.
It's the body. The torso is the body of the guitar, and I think the neck is what the and then the head is the top part.
Yeah. And they're just rocking out. And it's like a heavy rock. Man. And they're playing body parts.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole look of it was so cool. And, you know, you got Tom Savini there running the show. What about Fright Night, bro?
Fright Night. The part when they kill his friend.
Evil Ed.
Evil Ed, when he kills him.
Yeah.
And they're hatching him on the neck. They're hatching him on the side. Fucking knee. Everywhere. And then not only that, like you said, they beat his ass. You know those kind of fucking hood fights you see out there and shit, and it's
bum
like
fights.
And it doesn't end, and like you think, oh, he got fucked up, and then next thing you know, dude's like power driving him and shit, and then next thing you know, he's getting up, and then he's throwing a fucking a trash can on him, and the next thing you know, they're fucking wrestling, and they get up, and one kicks the other one in the grill. That kind of fight, man.
let's walk up into the tattoo shop. It's that time, fella.
Oh, shit.
Let's get creative.
Yes, pues. Well,
you know, we have a prompt, a question, and we go off the top of our heads. You make up a story, make up a character. So our question for today. So these movies are based on modern period action vampire movies. What setting would you use for your movie, and who would your hero be? You know, you can use, your hero can be a superhuman, a god, or a demon, or a regular human.
Well, I would do, of course, me being, you know, my heritage being Mexicano, I gotta always improvise on using Aztecas, Mexicas, and that whole culture. So I would like to make a movie that is vampires movie, But going back to those times, that era of it being in the Aztec times or Mexica or however we want to label them, but doing a vampire movie setting in that type of realm, but it wouldn't be about a good guy. It'd be a villain movie. It'd just be a straight villain vampire movie. He fucks shit up, and essentially the group of people that ends up winning the fight, the war, they really didn't win. It's just for that moment. It's kind of like how in the United States they like to celebrate Cinco de Mayo and think that that's the independence for Mexico, which is not, people. But what I'm saying is, it's just a story about a battle that, you know, these people went through fighting the vampires, and it would be mainly about and being a villain.
So let me ask you this: so this villain that you're talking about, what is he? Is he mortal? Is he human?
No, he's a vampire. He's a vampire.
But is he like a god, or he's just a regular vampire? Yeah, he
would. I think what I would say, how I would put him, I would write him in the story.
Yeah.
He would be Quetzalcoatl, the feather serpent, and he's not a regular looking kind of vampire. He probably has some type of feathers that goes along with his character. He's also got kind of has a giant thing to it where he's not regular size. He's a little bigger. Because he's older. So, of course, he will have a whole background story. But, yeah, he I would base it off Quetzalcoatl. But, hey, man, once in a while, you got to twist the fucking story around, man. Just to get a good, it's just a story. So, it'll be something like that.
That'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, it would be one of those things that the story would be similar to Van Helsing, where the person who's not a vampire, who motivates the people to fight against these vampires, he's also an old timer. Like, he goes back to those times, but he doesn't know what's going on. He's kind of like still trying to piece everything together. Kind of what Van Helsing's story is, but something in that type of field kind of give it a whole, you know, different feel when it comes to the villains and the good guys.
All right. Yeah. That sounds cool.
Simone, is it?
Yeah.
What about you, Grand Marquise?
Been trying to think.
No, you don't think, man. You gotta just go off the top of your head. Even if it doesn't make sense, man, this is the whole point. It's creative moment. Dale way, dale gas.
Dale all right. Duro. So
that sounds very interesting. So what does this soul do?
I would take it back to it'll be modern days. Yeah, it'd be modern day. And so the main hero would be, I don't know if I should make him a cop or not.
Nobody likes cops. Right now, at least right now.
Damn.
Hey, Mikey, much respect, much love for you, man.
The main hero is going to be a security guard.
There you go.
Like a basic ass security guard, not even a super cop. just a fucking dude that's just like, you know, I'm just working this fucking boring ass job because I need this boring ass job. Yeah, he works at a bus depot, you know, for public transportation. They say, you know, you're like a Samtrans or Muni or whatever. And so that's his patrol. He just watches out for the buses, make sure the little fucking putitos don't go out there and start doing graffiti on the buses and shit. What ends up happening, so he goes to work to fill a shift on the overnight because the guy that usually worked there disappeared. He's like, okay, well, I'll just take it. All of a sudden, he sees lights or some commotion in the basement of the building, of the depot. And there's a meeting there, you know, four nicely dressed, looking almost mafioso, business-like. First, he thought they were talking about moving drugs. He's like, you know, kilos, using terms like, you know, pounds and stuff like that, and gallons. And he's like, what the hell? You know, and then it happens to be blood. They're talking about blood and bodies, moving bodies and moving blood. And so he's like, what the hell? Him being bored, he wanted to be a cop, didn't become a cop. And his next level in life was to be a private detective. So he goes, fuck this, you know, I'm gonna follow up on this. You know, he doesn't tell anybody. And the whole time he's following one of them, finds out that vampires are real and they operate on the underground, right? So that's the setup, the setting. And then by the end of the movie, he actually is turned into a vampire at the very end.
Okay.
You know, he is able to expose them, but no one believes it because they have so much power. It does create like a power vacuum within the ranks. And then eventually, part two, he's now a vampire. And now he starts using his power to kill them and and becomes like the Daywalker. No, he's going to be the Nightwalker. Sounds like a hooker.
Sounds too much like Nightcrawler.
There you go, Nightcrawler. So that'd be my movie. I'm not too happy with that setup, but hey.
Like, no, that's pretty good, man. It's more detailed than what I gave you. I was like, yeah, and you know, I'm basing on this, and then I'm going to base it on that. And that's it. You're like, well, the crease goes down to the bottom, then it does a left, then it does a little alley-oop. I don't know what that is, but nah, but this is what it's all about. You know, savvy we could be with it, or
they can't all be winners, folks.
No, man, it's just what comes to mind.
Guaranteed. Any last words, bro?
Simon, let's see, there's always last words in our episode. So, gente, what you gotta do, like always, we always mention this, we're always gonna mention it, find us on IG, TikTok, and our Facebook group page at Hello Horror Podcast. We're also on Twitter, and our handle is at Hello Horror Pod.
As always, wherever you get your podcast from, we're gonna be there. And just make sure you comment, whether it's like, that was cool, man, I liked it, whatever. Yeah. You can even put some of that haterade fuel on there if you want. Make sure you rate it. Give it some stars, whatever. Review it if you can. Follow, subscribe, and obviously download it. You can also email us at hellohorrorpodcast@gmail.com, like I said. We'd love to hear from you, anything you'd like. And as always, keep dreaming and do something about it.
Simone.